Hello and welcome to Pixelated Realms Gamescast, your guide through the digital landscape, untangling the mysteries of your favorite titles and discussing the latest and greatest in video game fun. I'm your host, Alex Salerno. Alongside me is my brother Tyler and my good friend Dustin. What's up, guys?
Hi. Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
Another great episode today. And I am going to apologize ahead of time. So my mic might sound kind of crappy. It has been for the last few episodes, and I'm going to apologize for that. It is not my fault. The app that we use to record is compressing my audio and screwing it all up. And I'm trying to figure out how to prevent that from happening. But if it's happening, I'm sorry. It's not on purpose. We know what's happening. We just have to get
Alex
over it.
Alex has shit equipment. Don't listen to him.
Tyler
shit
isn't bad equipment. At his audio
I have
job.
The best equipment out of all of us. And yet it's behaving the worst. And that's frustrating.
Alex is big sad. Big sad.
Big sad. Yeah. So before we really dive into stuff, a little bit of housekeeping. So we're going to try and formalize our format a little bit more, as well as, drop more short form content. We did talk about this last episode, so expect to see that more often. We're going to try and do more segments, more diverse segments, both short and long and kind of medium. Our podcast is still kind of our capstone, source of content, but we're going to have more. We're also going to be formalizing our podcast just a slight bit. So now the format is going to be, obviously, we're going to do our housekeeping like we're doing now. Then we're going to change what used to be called What Are You Playing? Into kind of more of a weekly roundup, which is a open discussion between the three of us on any topics that we like, including games we are currently playing, games that we're anticipating to play, or just news in general. Then we're going to talk about we're going to ask a question. We're going to pose a question, and the three of us are going to discuss it together. That is going to be drawn from our pixelatedrealms.org/ask. If they're available, we'll pick a few select questions from there, and we will discuss them. So please write in. Again, that's pixelatedrealms.org/ask, and you can write in and ask us a question or a comment, and we'll talk about it in the show. And then after that, we will discuss kind of more of a deeper dive topic for a short period of time. Kind of more of the meat of the show. So, like, for instance, today we are going to talk about video games that we have played that have not finished, but that are big games, big series games. So look forward to that. We have a lot coming on. So, let's go ahead and dive right into the weekly roundup. So what are you guys doing? What's up?
Tyler, do you want to start us off?
Sure. You know, there's been a lot happening. My Warhammer 40K obsession continues. My hyperfixation continues, as anyone who's been listening week by week knows. I'm not hiding it. I'm not ashamed.
ashamed? Maybe just financially ashamed?
Maybe financially it's not great. But so, yeah, I'm doing good. I've been playing a lot of Warhammer Rogue Trader. It's a video game that is... Just to cut to the chase, it's very like a Baldur's Gate 3 CRPG style Warhammer game. I gotta just say once again, and I believe I said this last week, it's really, really good. If you like CRPGs, narrative-based, turn-based combat with a great narrative gameplay, really recommend you pick up Warhammer 40,000 Rogue Trader. Even if you're not a fan of the Warhammer universe, you'll learn. The other thing I wanted to call out, and maybe we'll make this into a little segment ourselves, is looks like there's a big old sale on Steam right now. Frontier Publishing has a sale up to 90%. Frontier, if you're not familiar with Frontier Publishing, they've published they publish such games as Planet Zoo, Planet Coaster, Jurassic World Evolution, both 1 and 2.
A lot of good Sims.
A lot of really good. I personally love their Sims. I enjoyed the Jurassic World ones. They also do F1 Manager 2023, which I know had a tempestuous start, but I'm sure it's a pretty decent game. And funny enough, they also do Warhammer Chaos Gate Demon Hunters. So I picked that one up for myself, which is an XCOM style turn-based shooter game. That's kind of what I've been up to lately. How about you, Dustin?
You know, I didn't do too much this week, honestly. But I did get a chance to finish the demo for Stellar Blade. You know, I talked about this a little bit last week. You know, I was pretty disappointed with the combat, but obviously loved the design. The world is very cool. And then I didn't realize it actually. So in the demo, you enter like this garage and they're kind of like, why is there like a base camp in this fucking parking garage? Like, that's so random. And like, they're literally talking about it between the two characters. And they're like, oh, this must be a really important location. So like, I was like, okay, I'm going to like stop here for the night, whatever, safe point. And then not realizing that you literally go up the stairs and you fight the final boss of the demo. So I log in and I go up and like the boss just like beat the shit out of me continuously. I probably took me like 20-ish tries to beat it. But the good thing about that was up until then, like, yeah, you could almost like just slash your way through most of the enemies. Like, you die a couple times. You're like, oh, I gotta learn how to dodge this way or that way. Like, that fight actually made me learn how to do more attacks and like actually start like forcing me to like learn the parry and try to get
actually
better at the
parry.
Dodge. And, get better at the dodge. And instead of just like trying to dodge, there's like a move that he does that you basically can't dodge just by dodging. Like, you have to run or sprint. So learning like then to sprint away from that attack to have enough time to get out of the blast zone. And I was like, okay, like, I was bitching about the combat last week, and like, this has been a better experience because now it's forced me to learn and I'm picking things up. I did see something in the news that there's a little bit of input lag on the PlayStation 5 for the game, which was what was my big gripe last week, that I felt like when I was hitting the button.
Can't have input lag on a game like that.
Yeah, you know, like that was my thing last week, right? That like, it didn't feel like it was reacting fast enough to what I was trying to do. So it seems like that is an actual problem. But, you know, it's a demo. The game comes out on April 26th, so there's lots of times for something like that. I think hopefully enough time for them to fix it. But no, like, a much better combat experience after doing that boss fight that makes me more excited to play through the game.
I have a question. Yeah. So I have played and both Alex and I have played and beat Final Fantasy 16. In Final Fantasy 16, it is a similar, somewhat similar battle system. And they actually have the thing, what you said is one of the dodging mechanics is in the game. So a lot of things you can dodge, but in Final Fantasy 16, there's these area of effect powers that come out, and you do have to sprint out of them at a very small margin. It sounds almost identical to what you described in Stellar Blade.
Yeah, definitely. I've never played Final Fantasy 16. We'll talk about that later on in the podcast. But yeah, almost identical, or it sounds very much identical, where, yeah, you can dodge, you can perfect dodge, which then gives you an ability to do like a counterattack. And then there's moves like that where like he either throws fire at you, or he does like this jump in the air, like landing attack that has like a blast radius around it. And if you're not sprinting, then it's very difficult to get out of it. And the other tricky part about that is too, is you kind of have to learn like his mannerisms, I guess, a little bit, because Eve fights up close, right? So like, you want to be like, oh shit, he's going to do that soon. So then you start backing away and it gives you time to sprint. But if like, you're not paying attention to his moveset and you're like upfront and personal, like, I don't give a fuck if you sprint or not. Like, you're not getting out of that range. So,
did you play Sekiro?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, because I'm curious how close it is to Sekiro. I saw some comparisons being drawn online about the two games. I got to say, no game. I can kind of confidently say that I don't think I have ever paid attention to my enemy frame data as much as I have playing Sekiro. And I play fighting games. And so it's like, that's what it sounds. I'm really hoping Stellar Blade does offer that up, because when I was playing the hardest bosses in Sekiro, I mean, it is, I'm literally watching the limb movement of the enemy, because that's going to tell you whether you're dodge, parrying, running, you know. And I thought that was so impressive, and I loved that the game respected my brain power, right? It wasn't in no way was it like, no, we're not giving this to you for free, like, you have to earn it. And so yeah, if Stellar Blade is going down that path, that's really exciting to me. Hopefully I'm not overhyping myself though.
No, I mean, I think I I've seen a lot of people talking about that comparison too, and I can't say for sure, obviously, but I've seen people say that Sekiro is harder than any Souls or Bloodborne game. So
yeah, it's very hard.
It is
hard time believing that they're going to make Stellar Blade that difficult. Maybe once you beat the first way through, I heard it unlocks a harder difficulty, so maybe that will be extremely challenging. But I will say that as I was playing that boss, he does like this attack with both arms where he swings at you with one and swings at the other. Like that was a parry, right? But then like as you finish an attack, he would come over the top with like a double sword or like double attack. That was like very difficult to parry. And I felt like I was trying to like perfect dodge that more and then go in as for a counter. And then, yeah, then like figuring out like when he like points to the sky, like, oh shit, he's charging up and he's about to like do the bigger attack. Run away. So yeah, definitely like paying attention and figuring out like, is this a parry, is this a dodge, is this a sprint. So I think if like you like that, then this game is setting up well for that, at least in the boss encounters.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I love that kind of like duelist, right? You're like in this duel with this boss and you need to, it's a dance and you need to read their dance movements and kind of adjust accordingly. The last game we played a lot that kind of did have that, I'm gonna say, is actually Remnant 2, because in the final boss, if you ever got to the final boss of that game, one of the more well-designed final bosses I think I've ever faced in a game, and it's incredibly hard, but every single move has a tell, and you learn those tells, and like I said, it's a dance. You're like, okay, step to the left, shoot, step to the right, shoot, going into phase two, shit, something's coming over my head, duck. So to me, I love that when it's done well. I think that's, to me, that's what those hack and slash type of games where they thrive. Although I was just talking about a shooting game, but it doesn't matter. Either way, it doesn't matter what type of game. If you can create that kind of like call and response esque duel while still presenting a challenge, that sounds really interesting.
Well, what's cool too is like, and then we'll move on in a second, but like, you start like figuring out like how well you're doing through like that attempt, right? Like, so like when I was doing it, I was like, okay, I have to get through phase one without taking damage because I only get three potions. I don't get through phase one without taking fucking damage. There's no way I'm going to get through this boss. And I actually got really lucky when I finally beat him because I got him down like really low a couple times. And like, you know, you get him like, you're that boss like 10%. You're like, fuck, kill it, kill it, kill it.
The nerds, know? Like, and you're like,
yeah,
and it's like, so fun. Yeah,
I died both times, and I was like, motherfucker, dude. And then there was one time actually where I was sprinting away from him, and he did that like jump attack, and he just happened to land right in the middle of barrels that I didn't know could explode and do damage. So he landed in these barrels; they all exploded and took like a third of his health bar down. And I was in phase two and I was like, oh shit, I got three potions and he's already at 30%. Fuck him up. So yeah, I was able to take him down on that attempt, but I was like, oh dude, like saving grace, because like it was really starting to piss me off. But really cool boss experience. You guys should definitely download and check it out. I mean, it's only maybe like an hour max to get to that point, so it's not like a very long demo, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Great. Alex, what have you been up to?
Let's see. So I also haven't been been playing a ton this week. I have been also painting my Warhammer characters, which Tyler has pulled me into. And so I can blame him for all my financial mistakes. But it is fun. Been playing Dragon's Dogma still. And I actually have to say, like, I really like the class system in that game. And the vocations and stuff like that. So I've been enjoying that. Like, you can switch your vocations, and it's that style of kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics, where it's like you have to level up this one, and then you level up that one, and then it unlocks like a third one. And I really
so
like
what
that.
What have you been leveling up? What have you been finding is cool?
I'm pretty basic right now. So I have I think it's 10 levels per vocation, or maybe it's less than that. Maybe it's like 9, but I maxed out fighter, you know, the most vanilla of them, but I just kind of wanted to start basic after, you know, once I figured out that I could change them, I was like, oh, I'm just going to kind of go down the list.
Yeah.
So I started with fighter. now I'm doing Archer, and the Archer is like super powerful, overpowered a little bit.
Really?
In my opinion.
I was having a trouble in the beginning of the game with Archer.
In the beginning, but once you start to unlock some of their stuff, and then eventually when you max out Archer, you get another one that's like a magic Archer, and apparently it's like broken. I haven't gotten that far yet, but I guess it's like, You could shoot like 15 arrows into a guy and then they all explode or something. And so I was just like, okay, of course the sneaky ranger is the best in every fucking game. But anyways, I've been really enjoying that. I'm still not super into the pawn system. It seems kind of goofy to me, but I like the idea. I like the vision behind it. So yeah. Not mad there. A few things that have been kind of come out in the news lately though. Hellblade 2 got a release date. It's late May. I think it's, let me look it up. Oh, I have it open. It's May 21st. And I'm excited for that. So that's a Ninja Theory game. I played the first one, really liked it. It's like a really dark, intense single player game during this like Viking era. And the first
focuses
game
is around like mental health, right? And like the struggles like insanity.
So yeah. Your character is like basically schizophrenic. And so you hear voices like the whole time. And so I'm really excited to see the second game. Like I really loved the first one and I played it this year. So it's still really fresh in my mind. So I'm excited to see this one come out. I mean, I'm definitely going to get a day one and play through it. So that's going to be cool. Also, I guess the Star Wars Outlaws is coming with a story trailer drop sometime this week or next week. So really excited. So I'm putting a lot of faith in that game for this year. There's not a lot of really big games this year. It's like maybe an Assassin's Creed game if you like those. Trying to think of like some of the other ones, but this is one of the bigger
special place in our heart for Star Wars. So it's going to be really, it's very hard for them to mess up a Star Wars game so bad. I don't like it.
But it's happened. So I don't think that's going to happen with this. But, you know, I also don't think this is going to be like a Jedi Survivor where it's going to come out.
It's not going to be GTA 6.
No, it's definitely not going to be GTA 6. I mean, nothing is going to be GTA 6. But yeah. I'm excited to see. I mean, more info is always good. And I'm really, they haven't had a release date yet. So I'm hoping they drop a release date with this one as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping they take their time.
Yeah, right. And like they're following a formula that works for them. You know, like you said, mm-hmm. it's going to be like Assassin's Creed-y to a certain extent. Like we already saw some of the gameplay. And like it has like that kind of vibe for me, like in terms of like it looks very Ubisoft, right? Yeah. So, yep. You know, they're Ubisoft following their formula that works and they obviously create a lot of popular games. So I expect it to be good at the very least, you know, but Star Wars fans definitely have high expectations for their IP, so like they should. So we'll see. But one other quick thing that I want to call out that we talked about last week, and we said we'd mention it, is Hollow Knight Silksong. That page was real. It was not an April Fool's joke. And one of the people actually were like, oh, it just happened to go live today, but it's real.
The
troll.
So it definitely was meant to, like, it's smart by them. They got them all over the place, including in these roundups. People are like, oh, like, that's so mean. And then they got, like, that second wave of people like, oh, it's actually real. So pretty smart PR.
They just
by
went
them.
For the shock value. Yeah.
Yeah. Smart PR by that team over there to get a lot of love for it. And fans are excited. So Hollow Knight, it's coming.
Very cool. I never did beat the first one. I have to go through it again because that game is hard. That game is really hard and it's brutal. But it's really fun, so I have to go through and play it again. I have it on my Switch, and I want like the 50,000 handhelds I have in the house that we don't need another one. But Xbox, but that game is just so good. And I want to play this one, but I don't know if I can feel like I could buy it if I haven't beaten the first one. So.
Yeah. But did you know that on the PlayStation 5 that you can play in dual controller mode? So that like if you want to play with Naomi, she can be holding the controller and you can be using the other controller to actually do all the movesets, but she'll think she's playing. I didn't know this is an accessibility feature that they put into the PlayStation 5 that I didn't know existed until recently. So I'm looking forward to actually trying with Arthur. I fucked around with it a little bit. I was like, oh shit, this is real. Like we can both play the same character at the same time with different controllers so that you can assist.
But what can he actually do?
Oh, so he does everything, but you can override what he does?
Yeah, basically. So like I can play Spider-Man 2 with him, and if he's like swinging and getting like stuck, I can like course correct him where he doesn't really realize that I'm actually helping him. So yeah, I didn't know that's a thing. But
so it's like
really
a
cool.
help your kids kind of
yeah
thing. That's really interesting.
Right? So yeah,
whoever,
it's like
whoever.
A cool accessibility feature that they created. So I'm looking forward to trying it.
Not only does that sound like a really cool accessibility feature, it sounds like a really hilarious Let's Play waiting to happen.
Yeah,
I think that would be such a fun thing. If I don't know if we have to do it like in person or something like that, but that would be so much fun to just like, you know, like give each of us have a separate mission.
Trying to do all the different things.
And you're like, okay, your job is to complete the side quest. Your job is to stop him from completing the side quest, you know, or something like that. Like, I think that would be hilarious.
Then, like, you just like drop kick somebody as Miles, and you're like, oh shit.
I can see that being awful, because if you're like, okay, you're playing like Assassin's Creed or something, you have to do this mission with no kills. And you're like, you have to kill everybody.
Yeah, you have to kill someone, yeah. Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
You just walk by somebody and stab them in the gut. You're like, no.
Yeah, no, that'd be really funny. You have to, like, figure out, like, you get three interactions, like, where you can take over for a split second or 5 seconds, you know, and try to ruin whatever they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, but, you can only press one button at a time or something. Yeah.
Yeah, like, so something that's fair, right? So they're just like, where? Drive off into, like, the ocean or whatever, you know, if you're in a racing game.
Yeah,
it'd be fun.
I think we gotta do something like that. That is hilarious.
I like that much better than the get drunk and try to explain a history of a game segment.
I think we should still do that. Even if we only do it for one episode, I think we should still do that. I think it would be hilarious. Yeah, okay. I think that's kind of it for me. You guys got anything else, or should we move on?
No.
We got a couple of questions. We do. But before we dive into that, I just want to say that we really appreciate everyone who follows and subscribes to us. We post new episodes every Tuesday morning on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms Podcast. If you want to ask us a question or leave a comment, you can now go to pixelatedrealms.org/ask. Leave us a comment and we'll talk about it in the middle of our show. If you ask us a question or a comment, we'll discuss it. And that's the segment we're about to drop into right now.
And join Ralph and send in questions.
Yeah, Greg, who I know is listening, send in a goddamn question. Actually, he just had a baby. Not Miller.
Congratulations.
He just had a baby a couple of days ago, him and our friend Megan. So congratulations to them. Big shout out. Yeah, very cool. I now have to ask him if I can announce that on Tuesday. not that I don't think he, you know, I don't know who he told. So it might be a little bleep there.
Yeah, but, check the Instagram, see if it's on there yet.
Yeah, I know. All right, so not Ralph asked us a few questions. Dustin, what's your waifu week 2 pick?
Oh my goodness, this is going to become a thing. Wait, this isn't Ralph?
It is Ralph.
It is. Okay. It's not Ralph.
He just wrote in as not Ralph.
Oh, that's actually really funny, because from what I just said about someone help Ralph, and then he says his name is not Ralph.
Not Ralph.
Oh, shit. I haven't even thought about it. I guess we'll just go with more recent and have to just give some love to Tifa from Rebirth. you know, they obviously... It was really funny because we talked about this on the podcast, but I think that the developers actually were like, yeah, you know, we got so many people asking about Tifa being brought back to like her original design, that's why we did this with Rebirth. So I don't know how true that is, because again, I don't really play Final Fantasy, but I guess they nerfed her top and they unnerfed it for Rebirth. So I'm all about it.
Fan service.
Rebirth might be a game I have to pick up so I can just lay on the beach, just click the game there. Actually, it's funny because a lot of people made that joke on Twitter after, like I never got past the beach part. So
it's like a save file specifically at the beach part.
Yeah, you're exactly. Just on the beach the whole game. You're like, it was great. I beat the game. You're like, oh, how was the final boss? Like, I don't know. I just played on the beach.
Like, I mean, if you guys think that they're not going to release like a volleyball mini game or some shit that they could play after the game, like or even like a standalone game, you're going to see Final Fantasy VII Rebirth Volleyball Edition or whatever.
Dead or Alive 2.0.
Like Dead or Alive.
Yeah, I was gonna say Dead or Alive Final Fantasy Edition.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. It's like, you know, like we've talked about it and like, you know, as working in the industry, like the Japanese game studios have a reputation for not shying away from, you know, sexualizing their characters, as we've seen. Although, like, Stellar Blade, I think, is actually Korean developed. But, you know, we see it with Stellar Blade. We see it with Tifa. I mean, we see it all with 2B. I mean, it's everywhere. It's been happening forever. I don't think it's going to stop. And I, for one, don't want it to. So, yeah.
Great.
Cool.
Any others?
Yes. Question number two. In last week's podcast, you guys mentioned the nerds won the war. When was the shift? What do you guys think changed where gaming and nerd culture became more acceptable in society? I actually think this is easy for me to answer. So I think what happened is our parents' generation, well, there was a stigma against it. Yeah. And then all of those parents grew up and stifled their nerdness. And then, but they had kids and they projected all that nerdness onto their kids. And our generation grew up like that. And because we grew up like that, nobody thought it was weird. I think that is a factor. I don't think that's the only reason. I also think...
Yeah,
go for it.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I also think a little bit, and this is maybe a little tongue-in-cheek, but I think that some corporations figured out how to monetize people's passions. And so they made it cool through merch and TV and things like that. And I know that's a little dismissive to some things because people are gonna be like, no, we fought really hard to be like, you know, to like have nerdom acceptable. And I do think that's true. I do think people did fight to make it more acceptable. But I also think one of the reasons it's more in the zeitgeist is because it's now very easy to market. You know, it's easy to market, you know, a action figure for and TV shows and all these things, a little more so than maybe sports and other things. And I think that has a big factor in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll piggyback off of what you said, because I think that's kind of where my direction was going. You know, what you said about, like, our generation growing up and just not, you know, thinking differently about it than the previous generation, definitely as a big factor. But I think the biggest driving force is money, unfortunately. You know, like... Would be playing football be the coolest thing in the world if the NFL and the Super Bowl didn't exist? Like, I feel like there's a inherent the fact that like the video game industry finally bloomed and investors, maybe they're the last line of defense from making anything happen, were like, wait, there's money here, let's throw money into it. So as soon as Twitch became a thing, as soon as like Let's Plays became a money maker, as soon as these things became like worldwide money makers, to me that's when it was like, well, maybe it's not a bad idea to be into video gaming or something. And that's where, you know, all sorts of people are attracted to money. Every person is attracted to money in some way. So to me, that's where it came from. It was just a cultural shift because it became you could become rich doing it kind of thing, to put it simply.
So I have a different take for you guys that I think you'll both be like, yeah, actually that makes sense. I think that we've seen the shift where nerds became cool with the introduction of social media. So if you think about it, MySpace launched in 2003, right? So when I was about to graduate high school, and I think that social media has helped propel video games into mainstream culture because it allowed us to start to see like what gamers looked like more often. Like, this guy plays video games. He doesn't look like a nerd. Or he doesn't look like the guy I thought they looked like. And on top of that, we also get to see like more, as you said, Alex, like people who grew up with video games, like celebrities and stuff like that, more access to like their daily life, what they're doing, what their hobbies were, what they like. And you get to see these people who are like, oh, I like video games. I play video games, you know? And so I think like with being able to have more access to people's interests on a regular basis and them to share what they like and don't like has allowed us to kind of change our perception. And then over the years now we've seen that grow where, you know, now it's like cool for girls, you know, thoughts or whatever to like dress up like, oh, look how nerdy I look, you know, and it's like a cutesy thing, or like, you know, like, yeah, you know, FaZe Clan, for instance, was like built on this idea of like, we're what gamers look like. We're not fucking nerds, you know, like these like dorky nerds, like we're like bros, but we like to play COD, and, you know, and like, I, obviously I fucking hate FaZe Clan, but they're a bunch of douchebags, but yeah, you know, like I said, more access to what people like through social media, I think has helped really drive the change of perception about what a gamer looks like, what a gamer sounds like, what they, you know, and what their interests are.
I think that's a really good point. And I think it's funny because it's still kind of a thing. Like, even, I mean, and gamers are, if not the most guilty of this, where it's like, oh yeah, this jerk who's talking crap about me in this game is probably some fat Chad who sits in his mom's basement. Like, we're just as
fucking
guilty
virgin.
As anyone else.
You're a virgin.
Right. And the truth of the matter is like you said, you know, like we get like all these stars who are Henry Cavill, blah, 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 you know, you name it, who are playing D&D and playing World of Warcraft and kind of making it socially acceptable to be a hot human who also does this. So
yeah,
I think,
Mila
Kunis
was a huge WoW player,
sure.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of them, right? Like, Vin Diesel's a big D&D player. Who's the Michelle Rodriguez is a WoW player. Like there's all these actors.
They
and
all play COD. Everybody plays COD. So,
and you know, things with Twitch and YouTube, like I said, like Let's Plays, ways of like creating this interaction. Not only did the money drive it, but like you said, there's more exposure that's driving it. And nowadays, right, it's this tepid thing, right? It's like, it's not like, oh, he plays a video game, he's an immediate loser, right? And maybe that we just felt that harshness because we grew up in an age where it was kind of unfashionable to like video games. But luckily, things have changed.
Yeah, I think gamers have overcome it. I do think esports players are still trying to overcome it. You know, you have people like Colin Cowherd, who used to rep ESPN or Fox, and is like, if I ever have to cover esports, I'll fucking quit. I'm not gonna report on some nerds who play video games in their basement. And you know, it's just like this huge misconception that some people definitely still have. And I think that more so ties to less of the casual gamer these days and more so to the people who play video games for a living, of like, oh my god, like how could you do that, like you're playing video games for a living, like 15 hours a day. But so I think there's still a little bit of work for those folks to overcome some of the negative, you know, thoughts about it or sentiments. But I think the general gamer has come into a state where it's accepted socially.
Although that being said, I strongly want to just point out that, like, to me, like, physical sports and video game esports are very different. Yes, they're both competitive scenes of things, but I'm sick of this idea of like that there's some, like, I'm not going to go ask the football announcer guy to report on Call of Duty. And to me, that's ridiculous. I don't want to go to ESPN to get my Call of Duty or COD or, you know, COD, my esports news. I don't need, I want to go to a different source, an expert in that source. So
what if it was like an ESPN sub channel that was like ESPN?
And there was all esports,
I mean, and
reporters.
That's their prerogative. That's fine. That's their prerogative. I don't care. But the fact that is like Joe Schmo or whatever, I don't know, announcers for football think or are being asked to report on esports is a ridiculous notion. Right.
I don't think that's happening anyways. They're getting people who are in the industry, usually ex-pro players, which is the same thing they do with sports.
Yeah, it's like casters or ex-pros or people who are like expert analysts, people who really know the game, right? Like, that's what they want. But it's more so that, like, you know, ESPN hosted like a HOTS tournament or some shit on TV, and like Cowherd was just like, I can't fucking believe ESPN has video games on here. If I ever have to do that, I'll kill myself. You know,
old
like,
guy yelling at clouds.
I'm a boomer and I'm trying to tell the world.
You know, which is just like insane. But I don't think anybody wants Joe Buck and Troy Aikman like commentating the fucking League of Legends World Championship.
No.
You know?
No, so, we want Snoop Dogg.
we do want Snoop Dogg because is like hilarious at anything he does. So
yeah, he's the best. All right, well, we have one more question and it's a two-parter. So split screen games seem to be a thing of the past. Most games are now single player but require online access to play with friends. Seems like Nintendo is really the only one still making single device multiplayer. Question one, Why do you think they've gone away from this model? And what are some of your favorite games that you've played split screen? Great question. Why do I think we've gone away from this model? Money. I think it has to do with money. And I think it's not totally, it's not like, oh, you know, fuck split screen. It does exist. There's really fun split screen games. And if you haven't played It Takes Two, I highly recommend it. That's Emily and I play that game all the time. An amazing split screen co-op game. They're still out there. But the thing is, I don't think they sell as well. And I don't, not only do I think they don't sell as well, It Takes Two isn't typical because that one sold really great. But I also think that it's much more difficult to get somebody into your house because not everybody's playing in the physical locations anymore than it would be to put an online version of that and then have, you know, you play online together. Not only because there's benefits, you know, you get two TVs, then you sell twice as many consoles, you sell twice as many games, and it's convenient for the user. So I think there's just a lot of conveniences that get rolled up into it. And then when you make something online like that, it requires the game to kind of be online because of, like, they have to communicate with the servers for whatever reasons and stuff like that. So there's all these, like, technical reasons why it's kind of shifted there as well.
Yeah, updates, if nothing else, right? Like, we don't live in a world anymore where a game comes out on a cartridge and that's it. That's the game forever. Like, and we don't even, I don't even think any gamer wants that experience at this point. Like, want, like, games to be able to get updated, bugs to be fixed, things like that to be able to take place, you know? So I don't think we're at a stage where we want, you know, an offline only cartridge experience. I do wish that games didn't require to be online as much or, like, all the time, but I think I do agree that there's a money perspective or, you know, point there. But I also just think it's what you also said, convenience. I mean, the way people absorb content now is much different than when we were kids, where, like, people want the ease of being able to play in their own home, especially PC games, which is the most dominant form of gaming, right, in terms of player base, I'd imagine, at least.
Is it? At Greg Miller.
Yeah. I don't think that's correct. Mobile gaming is by far the highest.
Okay. Well, not mobile, but
next, I think consoles are even higher than PC. Go on.
Well, either way, I just think there's so many people who like to play within the convenience of their room and of their own home, you know. And also, like, remember as, like, kids, like, I mean, we used to all pile in, like, a bedroom if a kid had a TV. But I mean, like, how many parents at this point want to, like, give up their living room for 4 hours as, like, the teenagers all come over and play Call of Duty in the living room on a split screen, you know? So,
I mean, here's the thing. Split screen was built out of necessity and less because it worked really well. So,
yeah,
like,
man, fucking screen,
you guys remember, we all had a small TV and we're all huddling around it. You'd have a tiny little portion of that screen. So, like, as far as optimization goes, thank you, Sophie. The split screen wasn't a great solution anyway. It was just a solution to a problem. I think this was the natural progression, and it naturally progressed like that even more because of the money situation. So I feel like there was just no other option. It was just always going to be like this. But then like you said, Alex, it depends on the type of game. Fighting games still have split screen, you know, they still have two player capability on one screen. Take Two does, you know. So I think it's just shooters specifically were like, this isn't working. Let's just stop and go with something that does work. And then other games that could were like, you know, we could still offer it if it's within the parameters.
Yeah. You looked at my screen. You cheated. You know,
yeah.
Remember that?
No,
yeah,
more screen lookers.
Screen. Yeah, no
screen
sniping. I mean, the second half of that question for me, probably favorite experience on split screen is probably still Mario Kart. If not Mario Kart, GoldenEye.
GoldenEye was also a blast.
But, yeah. But those two definitely stand out above any other split screen experience I can remember.
Yeah.
Snowboard Kids, super fun.
Oh my God, you dropped Snowboard Kids. I love Snowboard Kids.
Snowboard Kids is so good, dude.
I'm also really good at it.
I have all the characters unlocked, or I did when I had that game, like Shinobin or whatever.
Fucking killer soundtrack.
Yeah.
I still listen to it to this day. If you have not listened to the Snowboard Kids soundtrack, you're missing out.
I mean, that era had like really good soundtracks. For some reason, they got a lot of really good licensed music too. Like, and so like Tony Hawk and stuff. For instance.
I was about to say, you're thinking of Tony Hawk specifically.
Yeah. I've seen that video that went viral. The guy created the thing about like, I need you to create like a pause music, blah, blah, blah. And then he does like the GoldenEye pause music.
Doesn't need to go too hard.
Like, yeah, and it's just like a super banger, and like you listen to it.
Bum, bum,
yeah, and it's like this has no business like, being as good as it is.
That guy has a whole series of those, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny because he's like the original, but then there's a guy who did it like 2 years later and followed his format. He always gets all these people commenting like, "Oh, you stole this guy's fucking content," and it's like, actually, dude, mine's like multiple years earlier. So it's pretty funny.
Everyone steals content. That's just the deal. I would have to say though, my absolute favorite is OG Halo Combat Evolved for me, because I was like the prime age for that, and I would go over to my friend Jake's house, and we'd go and sit in his house, and we were trying to hammer out the legendary campaign, and we'd sit there and you do the thing where like, all right, this area is too tough, so one of you go stand in the back and just be a respawner, and I'm going to go in and just suicide 1,000 times until we finally clear the area.
Classic you know? Halo legendary strategy. Yeah.
Classic, like, young kid strategy there.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Oh, wow. All right, did we want to move on to the main topic? I know we're running short on time here, as usual.
Let's do it. You want to start us off? Start with the question?
Yeah, sure. So today we wanted to talk about big game series. You know, we got our Mario's, Final Fantasies, name it, that we have played but have not finished for one reason or another. I know mine is probably going to be the Mario series, because I've never beat a Mario game, I don't think.
Like any of them? Like Odyssey, Sunshine, Galaxy. I mean, 64, Mario Kart, 64,
Mario Kart,
Mario
maybe.
Party. I don't know if you can count those as being able to beat them.
So
Paper Mario, you had to have played. I think you played Paper Mario.
I almost
the original
beat Paper Mario. I never beat it though. I don't think I've beat a single Mario game. I don't think. Oh. I don't think I have. So
I'm gonna have to think
crazy.
Of one.
So, okay, so I'll go first then. So,
well, the thing is about that though, is I actually think you're probably in the majority. Yeah. I think a lot of people are in your boat.
So Mario specifically though, for me, okay, I'm not a big platformer fan, viewers. I'm just not. Like, I've been playing platformers my whole life, and honestly, like, my favorite platformer is also a shooter, which is Mega Man X. Like, so, and I don't even know if you want to call that a pure platformer. So I love the Mario games. I think they're really enjoyable. I think it's beyond explanation for their effect on the video game world. However, I just always burn out and I always teeter out. Like the first like 3 or 4 levels to those games, I'll be like, yeah, this is great. This is great. And then I kind of look back at myself, and when I get to the harder things, I'm always like, but this is just like me trying to jump in a very specific place, or just running around a map where I have no idea what's going on. Like, to me, there's not a lot driving me to continue in a platformer. So I end up petering out really, really quickly. But like things like finding secret areas or finding fun solutions, like I still enjoy it. It just never pulls me, because my character usually is not progressing as significantly as, like, I love RPGs. I like gear. I like loadouts, like things like that. So when the progression of a platformer is kind of like more slow and more skill dependent, that's really hard for me to like keep my attention. And then I see these guys who are like really into like the Mario level maker, and like they like spend hundreds of hours mastering these levels. Like, to me, I have like no interest in that. I'm interested in watching you do it, but like the amount of repetition, repeating the same thing over and over again, can be difficult for me. I never do it. Although my favorite ones would be Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and I really enjoy them. I just never finished them.
Underrated Mario 3D World. I played that on Wii U. I thought it was fucking fantastic, but for whatever reason, people don't rate it very highly. I don't know why, but Mario 64, definitely, like, one of the best, without doubt. Have you guys ever watched the clip of people... like beating it within like 2 minutes. Like they do like this backwards.
The reverse.
Jump. Yeah, and then they go kill Bowser like instantly.
That, like, oh. It's really impressive.
Actually, Mario 64 has some of the coolest speedrun videos online. There's like, if you go into the ones that go into detail about like how they do it mathematically, it's very interesting. Like, for instance, I guess there's like an area where I'll be quick about this, but there's an area where like if you slide down this hill, you can get stuck in the slide animation, which will continuously add acceleration to your character. And then I guess the game like tiles the map. So it like infinitely tiles the map. And so you can like jump across all these tiles to get to another area, to get to basically an alternate universe version of the map that has no enemies on it. And so you can just like run around and do it. Anyways, it's very cool, very interesting. But that is a classic. And I am surprised you haven't beat at least one, like Paper Mario or something.
But I love turn-based, so Paper Mario was definitely the one I had a good chance at, but I still don't think I ever beat it.
Yeah. Mine probably will surprise you, I think, a little bit. I have almost 200 hours in Skyrim. Never beat the main story.
I've already given you crap for this in the past.
Yeah, never beaten it. I also haven't beaten Red Dead Redemption 2, and I probably have like 50 hours in that game.
You know, the thing about continue.
I mean, Skyrim, I think, is pretty easy to see why. I just get so, like, the side quest tax is real.
You get side quest distracted. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, ooh, I could go do this. Ooh, I could go do that. Oh, why would I do the main quest when I have 50,000 other things that I want to do? Oh, there's this rebellion or civil war going on. I don't really give a shit. You know who wins?
I will say, Skyrim, I remember I beelined it the last time. When I did beat it, I was just like, I'm going to beeline the story. And I did that. And one, it's actually a really like interesting story. And two, it's not hard or long. So it's just funny that you say that, because I'm like, you could have probably done it really quickly, but it's like, it just doesn't seem like a priority in the game.
Do I have to start over? Oh, shit. Here we go again. You know, like.
How about you, Dustin? What's your series that you've played a lot of but never beat?
Well, I never even played a lot of it, but it's definitely Final Fantasy. you know, for one, growing up, not a PlayStation guy, was a Nintendo guy, transitioned into PC almost and like around like 10 years old, and then like never really looked back at console for a long time. You know, I have a PlayStation 5 now, and I had an Xbox for a bit. But, I just never got around to really getting into Final Fantasy. I remember playing the really, really old one on Nintendo, where, like, you're on, like, a ship.
Six.
And,
you're on a ship in every single one at some point.
Okay, so,
it's are you thinking Final Fantasy 6, probably? Is that, it's the one with the intro with the mechs, and it's still pixel.
And way too deep. But all I literally remember about this game is walking on a fucking flying ship and like really old, like OG Nintendo art. That's
funny.
But yeah, you know, I played that one a little bit, and then I played like a little bit of 16, maybe.
Okay, wait. So
maybe a 16.
We're close enough in age. Like, Final Fantasy 6, 7, 8, and 9 would have been premium when you were a teenager.
I was also a proud, fuck Final Fantasy, Zelda's the greatest franchise ever.
So you were a hater.
I was a hater.
You were a hater.
I was a hater, absolutely.
That is why you have robbed yourself of one of the greatest video game franchises of all time. Alex left because he was so outraged.
Yeah, he's fucking pissed. He just was like, fuck this guy.
How dare you?
It was honestly because I was such a big Zelda fan, and there's all the debate back then was like, what is the greatest franchise ever? Is it Zelda? Is it Final Fantasy? And I was like, fucking Zelda, baby. Fuck you, Final Fantasy. So yeah, that hater
or
juice.
Or you could love both.
I could have, but, you know, as a competitive-minded child, I opted to pick a side for democracy.
Honestly,
you know,
for democracy.
The best thing about Final Fantasy games was like, especially as a child, like, so I obviously I had Alex, who was 3 years older than me, playing these games. Right. So like when I was a little kid, I was the little brother watching, because I just didn't have like the literal intelligence to like get through these these games. And then we have an uncle who is just a little bit older than us. And he was the one who introduced us to these games. I hope you're watching, Uncle Patrick. So he really introduced us to the Final Fantasy games and a lot of games. And so I spent like my young childhood trying to like beat the first level on most of them, you know, like that was like, for me, it was like, I remember like sitting in his room or sitting at home and like, I was lucky if I got like 45 minutes into the game, but it would take me like 6 hours, you know, like, and so like as an adult, then what I do now is like, I'm like, well, when I was 10, I couldn't beat Final Fantasy VII, so now I'm going to go beat the shit out of it. And I'll go play like 100 hours and 100% it just to prove to myself that I have intellectual capability to beat this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, the JRPG turn-based style is definitely for some people and not for others. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, whether or not you were going to be a Final Fantasy fan in the get-go or not, you know, maybe you just aren't into the turn-based. So the nice thing, though, is that Final Fantasy games, one, I mean, they do change every game. So if you don't like the style or combat system of one, there is going to be tuning happening or adjustments with the next one. Obviously, that's changed over a 20, 30-year span of time. But yeah, it's funny because there is a lot of people who also think, like, Final Fantasy, there's so many of them. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to start, where to pick up. And I think a lot of people don't know that they are essentially independent games, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't, where you start is where you, you know, anywhere. You could start with any of the games.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a common hurdle I think people create too.
Yeah. Yeah. They have like similar themes across the games, but they're like completely different worlds. Like a new season of, you know, what's the show that like restarts every season, but something like that.
Well, it's like they have fundamental ideas, and
I'm muted. I was just saying, I had no idea that was a thing. I thought that like Cloud was in like every Final Fantasy.
No, they were just the characters. Different set of characters every single game.
I didn't know that until 15, again, because I hardly paid attention. I was actually at the launch event in LA because my agency at the time was working on Square. Oh, they still do, but I was like, oh, what the fuck? Where's like Cloud and Tifa? And so it doesn't surprise me that they relaunched 7 because I feel like without a doubt that those are probably the most iconic characters.
100%.
So it's like, how can we continue to get more Final Fantasy 7 merch and game stuff out there?
Yeah. So, yeah, this dives into the Final Fantasy conversation a little bit. So, Final Fantasy VII, I would say, almost undoubtedly is the most popular Final Fantasy game. It's not... No, Alex, it is, I would say, by and large, the most people in the world know about Final Fantasy VII. Like,
it gets talked about the most.
Yes, it gets the most attention. A lot of people are passionate about being their favorite. I think most people who played all of the Final Fantasies, I think most of them tend not to like focus on 7. I certainly don't. I mean, 9 and 10 and 13 and 6, like Tactics. Like to me, there's a whole bunch that stand out other than before I get to 7. But yes, I would say popularity-wise, Cloud is probably the most recognizable Final Fantasy figure. He is only in Final Fantasy 7 and of course the remakes. So to me, even when I was younger, I didn't like the more, I preferred the more like medieval setting to the industrialized setting. So Final Fantasy 9, which has a less industrial, more medieval setting, was more interesting to me for that reason. So there's a little bit of everything in Final Fantasy. You just have to know which game to play.
Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy 9 is the best.
Final Fantasy 9 is the best one.
Yeah. That's just a fact.
If not 10.
Yeah, but I mean, I am a little surprised that just given that you kind of like JRPGs and stuff like that, I would be surprised if you picked up the new... I know that the pixelated stuff, you know, isn't as waifu friendly, but the new Final Fantasy certainly are, so I'm surprised you haven't picked up Rebirth.
I mean, haven't you...
You're muted.
Did you play 15? Did muted. You say...
sorry.
I didn't play it. I didn't play it, but I watched like it's the one that had like the movie come out alongside it, right?
Yeah.
Like an animated.
Well, and the first thing you do is you interact with Cindy, I think her name is, and she's just like grossly over sexualized character in the
she's the mechanic chick.
Yeah. And it's like you can see her underwear like showing, like it's like grossly over sexualized.
And she's like so stereotypical, like woman mechanic, like
right. She's just like
lady,
a mechanic, you know.
I'm like, a girl who's really hot, but I'm also act like a man.
I'm also a great mechanic because my daddy's a mechanic. Yeah, and like I'm not complaining. I thought she was a fine character. It was just like really funny, like a very very
Cindy Arum.
Is she in yellow and short jeans?
Short jeans, trucker hat.
Yep,
fucking awful game. And I'm sorry if that was your first
entry
into
the
game. No,
it's not. It is not an awful game.
Fucking awful story.
It is not. You are remembering incorrectly. There's things that are not as amazing about it, but it is not an awful game.
I think you're remembering incorrectly.
I have played it three times.
I'm a prince, and my father and the entire capital just got fucking nuked from space.
But on a bachelor party.
I'm going on a road trip with my friends. Also, every time that I meet somebody, they know that I'm the prince. But
and
they
treat
me
like
I'm a fucking child. Yeah.
Like, honestly, it is so funny, though.
Oh,
like, there is certain
God.
Things in that game that are really silly. Like, you're literally Prince Noctis. And, like, people are like, oh, Prince Noctis.
Hey, can you do
well,
me a favor?
Well, it's extra money. Yeah, can you do me a – can you go get my groceries? You know, it's like people treat you like you're garbage in that game. There's certain aspects of that game, and we'll save it for another episode, but like there's certain aspects of that game I think completely revolutionized certain aspects of JRPGs. So
the food
and camping stuff, and like the way the traveling system worked out actually worked perfectly for me. And I think Breath of the Wild would not have been the game it was without the inspiration of Final Fantasy XV.
Wow.
That's a hot take.
Bold
but I think
statement.
I
flip that.
I think I could support it, but we'll save it for another time.
Okay, cool. Well, I think, unless you guys got anything else to say, I think that's a good place to wrap it up for us then. Thank you guys for the great discussion, and thank you everybody for listening. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to us to be notified when we post new episodes. Post new episodes every Tuesday morning on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms. Thank you very much.
Great, thanks. See you guys.
Bye.